بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we spoke about and we discussed the danger of speaking without knowledge, and the danger of saying something about Islam or giving a fatwa or passing a judgment on another person or giving a ruling without knowledge, and that this is one of the most severe sins. And in this lesson we're going to speak about something which is also very important for every talib al-ilm, and something which is dangerous, and it is more dangerous today because of the type of environment which we live in and the technology and the avenues of communications which we have at our disposal. This issue, it is more dangerous than previously. And that is when it comes to a person spreading news or broadcasting information and the likes of this. So in the previous days, a person spreading news and spreading information or narrating something from one person to another person, this was something which was dangerous. And the Sharia has come and it has mentioned this thing and warned the people from spreading and broadcasting rumors and information and narrations. But in the olden days, perhaps a person would say to a gathering of maybe 10 people, maybe 20 people, maybe 1,000 people at the most. But because of Facebook and YouTube and Twitter, now a single word that a person says, it can go to 100,000s of people or millions of people. So therefore the danger of it now is more severe. So sending a text message or tweeting a tweet or a Facebook post in which you mention and narrate information or broadcast a narration, it is more severe because your audience is greater. And from the fitna of today is that because of the internet, anybody can be whoever he wants. So you might have an absolute jahil, an absolutely ignorant person, but because of YouTube and Facebook, they can speak as if they are a scholar. And in many cases you will find that the views and the hits of the juhal who speak without knowledge, they are in their hundreds of thousands, if not millions. And yet the views and hits of an alim or a talib al-ilm who has studied and has taqwa and only speaks with knowledge, you only find a very few hits or likes. And this is a fitna of our time today. And this is a fitna which has become a great problem. So the honor of the people is spoken about and rulings are given, and issues which affect the ummah as a whole, people don't fear Allah in speaking about these things. You'll find a person who has never studied, has no qualifications to speak about Islam, and yet he will speak about an issue which will affect the ummah as a whole. So perhaps he will make takfir of a particular ruler, or he gives a fatwa for the people to rebel and come out, and so their lives are lost, their property is destroyed, their blood is shed, their honor is violated, and yet he doesn't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about speaking about this. So therefore, broadcasting and spreading news, spreading information, we have to fear Allah jalla fil ula, and that a person doesn't speak without knowledge. And the student of knowledge has to be even more careful. Why? Because the student of knowledge already has an audience. Because he has studied, then he already has an audience. He gives the sermons, he already has an audience. He has gatherings with people, with students, with friends, and therefore he has the audience who trust him. So the student of knowledge shouldn't be known for spreading narrations and information and broadcasting rumors and qila waqal, hearsay, without verifying. And the shakhsiyah, or the personality of a talib al-ilm, should be a personality in which he has complete control. He is in control of his tongue, and his tongue is not in control of him. So when he speaks, he only speaks with knowledge. When he speaks and he has verified that which he is spreading. And he doesn't base his judgments based on mere rumors and qila waqal. And also, this also protects the integrity of that person. Because if you're going to allow your tongue to always speak and spread rumors, then you will become known for this. And your name will be connected to a person who is always speaking, doesn't control what he says, and therefore you are also harming your own integrity. And also you should know, the ulama, they say, لَيْسَ كُلُّ مَا يُعْلَمْ يُقَالْ, that not everything which you know do you have to speak about. Rather, a person chooses to speak about or not to speak about that which he knows. So it isn't the case that every information that comes to you, you have to spread it and broadcast it to everybody and in every sitting. Rather, you have to look at those who are in front of you. So if those who are in front of you are in need of this information, then you can narrate to them this information. And those who are in front of you and they are not in need of this information, it doesn't have any benefit for them and their religion and their lives. Even if it is the truth, then you don't necessarily need to spread it to them. And from the companions like Ibn Abbas and Anas ibn Malik and other than them, they would say, حَدِّثُ النَّاسَ بِمَا يَعْقِلُونَ, speak to the people according to what they understand. Speak to the people on a level which they understand. حَدِّثُ النَّاسَ بِمَا يَعْقِلُونَ, speak to the people according to that which is to the level of their intellect. أَتُرِيدُونَ أَن يُكَذَّبَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, do you desire that Allah and His Messenger are disbelieved in? Because you're mentioning things and talking about things that people aren't ready to understand, and so they end up rejecting Allah and His Messenger. So not everything which is known has to be spoken about. You know something, but then to speak about it, you have to weigh it up. That me speaking about this information and mentioning this narration, does it have benefit for the people, or does it not have benefit for the people? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He ordered us to verify information which comes to us. When a person comes to us and he's somebody who is not to be trusted, we don't know how trustworthy this person is, and he comes to us with information, especially regarding other people, then we have to verify. We have to check that, is this statement true? Is this information true? Did that person really say this thing? And Allah said in Surah Al-Hujurat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا, O people of Iman, if a fasiq comes to you, fasiq here, the meaning is somebody who is a sinner, or somebody who is not trustworthy, or somebody who does not have precision in that which he narrates. If this person comes to you بِنَبَئٍ, with news or information, فَتَبَيَّنُوا, then verify and check and make sure that this information is true. Why? Because if you don't check and you don't verify, and then you spread this information, أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ, perhaps by you mentioning this information, you will end up hurting another person. And you have hurt that person, you have insulted that person out of ignorance. And then afterwards, you begin to regret, but the damage has already been done. So as long as a person doesn't utter a statement, he's in control. As soon as you have uttered the statement, you are not in control anymore. Now this statement has left your tongue and the damage is done, and maybe your apologies and your regret and your sorrow, it is of no benefit. So every time a person doesn't say something, you are in control of that statement. As soon as you make that statement, now the statement is in control of you. And a single statement can do more damage to a person than the sword and fighting. The tongue can do more damage than this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned in a hadith, he said, "La'alla ahadukum," perhaps one of you, "yukallimu bi kalima," he speaks a word, "la yulqi laha balan," and he doesn't pay any attention to what he said. Perhaps one of you, he makes a statement and he doesn't bear any attention to what he actually said. Min sakhatillah, but this statement, it was something which angers Allah. Fayahwi biha fi jahannam, and yet it will throw him into the fire. Perhaps one of you makes a statement and he doesn't really realize what he has said, but he has angered Allah and it throws a person into jahannam. And the opposite is also true. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that perhaps one of you, لا يتكلم بكلمة, he says a word, لا يلقي لها بالا, and he doesn't give it any consideration, من رضوان الله, but this word, it pleases Allah, فيرفع له درجاته في الجنة, and then it raises his darajat in Jannah. So sometimes we might say something or send a message or spread some information and we don't pay any attention to it, but because of the harm and the damage it has done, it may enter a person into Jahannam, na'udhu billah. And the reason why in this ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to verify the information is because one of the main objectives of the sharia, one of the maqasid the sharia, the main objectives of the sharia is hifdhul i'rad or hifdhul a'rad, is for the protection and the preservation of the honor of the people. So one of the greatest sins that a person can perform is to violate the honor of another person and to accuse another person of something that which they did not do. And what is more severe is to accuse a woman of something which she did not do. This is even more severe. So accusing a man of something which wasn't true, this is a major sin. Accusing an innocent woman of indecency is even more severe. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, اجتنبوا سبع الموبقات, be very careful or avoid the seven deadly sins. And one of the seven deadly sins he mentioned, he said, قَضْفِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ الْمُحْسِنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ, is to accuse a believing, innocent, modest woman, an innocent, naive woman of indecency. And Ibn Kathir rahimullah, in his tafsir of this ayah in Surah Al-Hujarat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَإٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا, O people of Iman, if a fasiq comes to you with any information, verify it, check it. Ibn Kathir said, وَمِنْ هُنَا امْتَنَعَ طَوَائِفٌ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ مِنْ قُبُولِ رِوَايَةِ مَجْهُولِ الْحَالِ. He said, from based on this ayah, groups of the ulama, they would refuse the narration of a person who is not known. A person, it isn't known whether he's trustworthy or he's trustworthy. He is an unknown person. And he just comes to you with some information. They wouldn't accept his narration. Why? Because perhaps he is a fasiq. So if this is regarding somebody who is majhulul hal, somebody whose state is not known, then how about information which comes to you from Facebook or from Twitter or from YouTube? And you have no idea who this person is coming from. How can we base our narrations upon this type of information. And Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah, in his book Kitab al-Ilm, the book of knowledge, and this book, it has been translated into the English language, he mentioned that if some information comes to you regarding one of your brothers, so you as a talib al-ilm, some news comes to you, some information comes to you regarding another Muslim or regarding another student of knowledge, how do you deal with this information? Somebody comes to you and says that Shaykh Fulan, he said this and this, or this Muslim brother, he's been saying this. How should you interact with this information? And he mentioned three steps that a person should take. He said, وَمِنْ أَهَمِّ الْآدَابِ الَّتِي يَجِبُ عَنْ يَتَحَلَّ بِهَا طَالِبُ الْعِلْمِ, from the most important etiquettes that a student of knowledge should adorn himself with is التثبت فيما ينقل من الأخبار, is verifying the information which is spread. والتثبت فيما يصدر من الأحكام, and also verifying the rulings which and the rulings and the judgments which are made. فالأخبار إذا نقلت فلا بد أن تتثبت. So if narrations and informations and rumors is spread, then you have to verify. The first thing you have to verify is هل صحت عمن نقلت عنه أم لا. That firstly, is what has been spread and ascribed to that person, is it true or not? This is the first thing we have to verify, because perhaps the person didn't even make that statement. Perhaps it is a complete fabrication against that person. So the first thing we need to check and verify is, did the person actually make that statement or not? ثُمَّ إِذَا صُحَّتْ, and then the second step. So the first step is, first verify whether the person actually made that statement or not. Verify whether that which has been ascribed to this individual, it is true or not. If it is true and he did make that statement, then the second step is فَتَثَبَّتْ فِي الْحُكَمْ. Then verify and check and investigate what is the ruling on what he said. ربما يكون الحكم الذي سمعته مبنيا على أصل تجهله أنت. Perhaps the statement which you heard, and therefore you made a ruling on it that this is false and this is batil, perhaps he actually has an evidence with him, and because of you being ignorant of the evidence, you are the one who is wrong and he is the one who is right. So the first step is to verify whether what he said is actually true. If it is true that he did say it, then check that what he said, was he correct or was he wrong? Maybe you think it is wrong and you think it is falsehood, but you are the one who is wrong. Why? Because you are ignorant of an evidence which he has. Or you are ignorant of a salaf, scholars which he has with him, and he has made this judgment based upon what those scholars have said. And then he says that after you have checked whether he said it or not, and then you have checked whether he has with him an evidence or not, let's say you come to the understanding that this person, he is wrong. He said, in this situation, كيف العلاج, how then do we solve this problem? He said, العلاج أن تتصل بمن نسب إليه الخبر, that you phone up and you speak to the person about whom this information was spread. And ثم تناقشه, and then you debate with him, you discuss with him. And if he was right, then you return and you go to what he said and you accept what he said. And if you are right, then he accepts what you say. And also Ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah, he mentions that sometimes a person might make a statement in a particular context, but because you are not aware of this context, you're astonished by this statement. How can he make this statement? Doesn't he know the evidence? But you aren't aware why he made the statement, and in what context it was made of, and who was in front of him. And Ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah, he says, ويقال, it is said, إذا علم السبب بطل العجب, that if the reason or the context is known, then your astonishment, it will disappear. Because sometimes perhaps somebody says something, and he says it for a particular reason, and if he was in front of another group of people, he wouldn't have said it, but because he's in front of this group of people, he says it. So the point is that there are three steps. The first step is to verify whether what has been ascribed to him, he actually did say it. If he didn't say it, then you ignore the issue. Secondly, to then investigate yourself, that what he said, does he have an evidence in what he said? Is there a principle which he is following? Does he have scholars and salaf with him who also gave this ruling? And then the third step is that after these two steps, you ring him, you phone him, you speak to him, and then you discuss with each other that I heard this was said, that you said this, and it has been ascribed to you, and I know that this is your evidence. And then you have a discussion or a debate with him, and the one who is upon the truth, he returns to it. And nowadays, because of these mobile phones, and because of a person having in front of him a screen, and not needing to speak to a person face to face, then in reality, cowardice has set in the people. So previously, because you had to speak to somebody face to face, there was accountability for what you say, and there was repercussions for a statement you made. But now, because of mobile phones, you're able to say something to a person and you're thousands of miles from that person. All in front of you is a monitor, and therefore there isn't that courage or that rujula, that masculinity and manhood in having repercussions and being accountable for that which you say. Ibn Uthaymeen, he says that you have to be careful from those people who are always narrating and passing on information. Why? Because many of them, they have nawaya fasida. Many of them, they have evil intentions. Those people who spread rumors and take information from this person to the other person against each other, many of them, they have evil intentions. And some of them, they don't have evil intentions, they have truthful intentions, but they don't know how to narrate. So somebody might be truthful and sincere, but he doesn't memorize, he isn't precise in that which he narrates. Maybe he emphasizes something which the person didn't place an emphasis in. He exaggerates something. He gives something a context, even though his intention was correct. And therefore, the statement of a person, it is turned upside down. And then the third type of person is a person whose intention is sincere. He knows how to narrate, but he isn't good at understanding. So he may understand from the statement of a person something which he did not intend. And for this reason, we have to be careful in that which we narrate. And always in our sittings and gatherings, we should be keys of goodness and closures of evil. We should always open for people the doors of goodness, and we should always close and lock the doors of evil. A talib al-ilm and a Muslim shouldn't be a person who opens evil for people and closes the doors of goodness. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Inna min al-nasi unasun," that verily from the people or some people, "Mafatihun lil-khair, maghaliqun lil-shar," and they are keys of goodness and locks of evil. Meaning they open the doors of goodness for people and they lock the doors of evil. Wa inna min al-nas, and also from the people of those people who are mafatihun lil-shar, maghaliqun lil-khair. Those people who open doors of evil for others, and they're always closing the doors of goodness. He said, فَطُوبَ لِمَنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ مَفَاتِيحَ الْخَيْرِ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. The reward of Jannah, it is for those people whom Allah has given them the keys of goodness. وَوَيْلٌ لِمَنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ مَفَاتِيحُ الشَّرِ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. And woe be to that person whom Allah has made his hands a key of evil, that which opens the evil for the people. And when a person is going to narrate a statement or mention a narration or make a judgment upon regarding another person, remember three specific hadith. The first hadith is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, min husni islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. From the goodness of a person's Islam is to leave alone that which does not concern you. So what does it concern you? The sins of another person. It doesn't concern you at all. What does it concern you? That a disagreement between some ulama took place in a faraway country and it has no relevance to your da'wah, to your community, to your ibadah, to your aqeedah, and yet you open this door for the people and you create a fitna for the people. Min husni islamil mar tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. From the goodness of a person's Islam is to leave alone that which does not concern him. So the sins of other people doesn't concern you. Rather, it is upon us to conceal the sins of other people. And also remember the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut. Whoever believes in Allah in the final day, then either speak with goodness or remain silent. So this narration, this information, this judgment which you're going to make, is it based upon goodness? Do you have a sincere intention? Are you doing it for the sake of Allah? Is it the truth? Have you verified? Have you investigated? Have you spoken to the person, advised him? Otherwise, remain silent. And then the third hadith is, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. One of you does not believe up until he loves for his brother that which he loves for his own self. So do you love for your own self that your sins are broadcast amongst the people? If you don't love for this for your own self, then don't love it for your brother. Do you love for yourself that your sins are concealed? Yes, you do. Therefore, conceal the sins of other people. Do you love to be advised when you make a mistake? Yes, you do. Therefore, love advice for the other people when they also make a mistake. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever conceals من ستر عورة أخيه ستر الله عورته في الدنيا والآخرة. That whoever conceals the private sins of his Muslim brother, then Allah will conceal his sins in this dunya and the akhirah. And whoever exposes the sins of his brother in this dunya, then Allah will expose him even if he remains in the inner part of his home. So upon the Muslims to always conceal the sins of the Muslims, the private sins. But if there is something which affects other people, like for example you have a criminal, and this criminal, he is harming our children, dealing in drugs. Or you have an innovator, mubtadi', and this innovator, his innovation and his doubts are affecting the people, then he is to be warned against and he is to be exposed. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also explained the danger of an-namima. And the meaning of an-namima is carrying tales and rumors between the people. That you go to one person, you say, do you know what he said about you? And then you go to that person, say, do you know what he said about you? Why? To destroy the relations between the people. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. He said, مَرَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِقَبَرَيْنِ. That one day, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he passed by two graves. And then he said, إِنَّهُمَا لَيُعَذَّبَانِ. That both of those people, they are being punished. وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ لِكَبِيرٍ. And they are not being punished for something which is big. Meaning, they are being punished for something that they think is insignificant. But with Allah, it is something which is severe. They are being punished for something that people belittle, but with Allah, it is severe. And he mentioned the first of them. He said, أَمَّا أَحَدُهُمَا فَكَانَ يَسْعَى بِالنَّمِيمَ. That one of them, he used to spread namima between the people. Tales between the people. pitting people against each other. And if a person is in a gathering and namima is being made or ghiba is being made, then there are a number of affairs which he should remind himself with and remind others with. The one who is spreading namima and spreading information which is not verified and spreading rumors and qila waqal, hearsay, has to remember a number of things. The first of these things is taqwallah, and fearing Allah in everything which you say and everything which you do. And a person who sins and his sins are private, he only harms his own self. But when a person spreads rumors and carries tales, then he not only harms himself, but he also harms other people. So this is more severe. And Allah said in the Quran, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ, that upon you are those who preserve and write everything. كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ, noble angels writing and recording everything which you say. Also, that a person, when he spreads some information, then he should hold himself to account. That is his intention sincere? Is he doing it only to expose the person, or because he has a worldly disagreement with him, or is he doing it for the sake of Allah? And Allah said in the Quran, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ فَحْذَرُوا. You should know that Allah knows that which is in yourselves, so be aware of Him. And Allah said in the Quran, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةِ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ, that He knows that which the chests conceal and hide. Also, if you are in a gathering in which rumors are being spread and comments are being made about other people, that you advise the person who is spreading the rumors with التثبت, that he must verify and check what he has said. And also, that which you are saying, first think that, is there any maslaha in what I'm going to say? Is there any benefit in what I'm going to say? Even if it is the truth. If it is the truth, but there isn't any maslaha in saying it, then it isn't said. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would leave off doing some obligations because it will bring about a greater harm. And an example of this is the building of the Kaaba. The Kaaba, in its state now, it isn't built upon the foundations of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The foundations of Ibrahim alayhi salam, it includes that half a wall, the semicircle, that's how big the Kaaba should be. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one day he wanted to destroy the Kaaba and build it again upon the foundations of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So he wanted to do this, and it was goodness. But then he said to Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha, لولا قومك, that had it not been for your people, حُدَثَى الْأَحْدِ بِالْكُفَرِ, and they are still upon kufr, or they have just come into Islam, he says, لَهَدَمْتُ الْكَعْبَةِ, I would destroy the Kaaba and build it again upon the foundations of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But why did he not do so? Because had he done this, the people would say, look at Muhammad, now he is destroying the Kaaba. So because there was a greater harm in doing this, then he didn't do so. When Dhul Khuwaysira and other people from amongst the Munafiqeen, when they would insult the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to his face and accuse him of dishonesty and treachery, the companions, they would come in Medina, the companions would come and they would say, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, da'ni adrib unaqahu, allow me to go strike his neck. This munafiq who dares to speak against you, allow me to kill him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would refuse. And the reason why he would refuse, he says, لِأَلَّا يُقَالْ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا يَقْتُلُ أَصْحَابَهُ, because if you kill him, other people will say that, look at Muhammad, he is killing his own companion sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So these type of hadith, they give us a principle The ulama say, دَرْءُ الْمَفَاسِدْ مُقَدَّمْ عَلَى جَلْبَ الْمَصَالِحِ. That a person repelling any possible harm is given precedence over bringing about a benefit. If we have an action, and this action, it is going to do more damage than bring about any possible good, then we don't say that statement or we don't do that action. And the same when it comes to spreading information. So not every refutation between the ulama has to be spread amongst the people. Not every fitna which occurs between a group of people does it have to be spoken about. Because perhaps you will speak about it and the people, they don't understand, and therefore you put them in a state of fitna and people are misguided. So as a talib al-ilm and as a teacher, you have in front of you a path. And this path is to guide people to Tawheed and guide people to the Sunnah. And bi-idhnillah, guide people to Jannah. So if anything is going to obstruct you in this path, then don't speak about it. Even if that information, it was the truth, but if it doesn't have any relevance to those people in front of you, then you don't need to speak about it. And we'll suffice with that for this lesson. Wallahu a'lam wa subhanakallah.